happy that you are here. Amen. We want to just go before the Lord this wonderful large day and give him praise this morning. We want to go before him in prayer, and we thank God for you logging in right here. Amen. We thank God. We see some checking in right now. I want to thank God for you. Amen. We're going to go right on just to have a word of prayer. And we do have a word from the Lord today, and I'm thankful that you are here to share this time with us. Amen. So we are going to go right ahead. Let's go ahead and pray. It's always appropriate to pray, to invoke the power of the Most High in anything that you are doing. Remember that throughout all your days, anything you do. That's what the word says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And that's the kind of thing that we have going on here. You know, we need God to direct our path. So many today don't think they need God to direct their path, or they're ashamed to mention God in their affairs. And that's one of the signs of folk who is lost, or folks who are lost, let me say, is that they are ashamed of the gospel. And you and I are not ashamed of the gospel. So we want to just thank everybody who is here with us. God bless all of you. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Set your minds on heaven. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you this morning. Father, we exalt your name. We are not ashamed of the gospel, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy today, God. Father, we thank you for protection and healing. Father, we thank you for guidance and wisdom. Father, we thank you for your grace. And Father, we just love you today the best we know how. Father, we feel shallow sometimes when we say we love you because we just only have so much capacity being human, Lord God. But we know that the more important thing is that we only love you because you first loved us. And so, Father, thank you right now for Jesus and what you did, Lord God. Somebody may not want to mention him, Lord God. Somebody may be ashamed of the gospel. But it's not us today, Lord. We love you right now, God. We thank you right now, God. We give you praise this morning, Father, for everything that you're doing right now. Father, we know these are evil times that are going on in many ways because of some of the ways of man, not because of anything that you have provided or done. Father, because you have been a way maker. You have provided everything. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. And so, Lord God, this morning, we just thank you for all that you have done. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor today, Father. Thank you for Jesus today, Lord. We thank you for his resurrection from the dead, Father. So we don't even really need to worry about death, even though death is on a mission right now, that you have allowed death to come through and sweep up many souls, Lord God. And so, Father, today we realize the urgency and the purpose of your church is that you left us to proclaim the good news, the way of eternal life through grace and through your son, Jesus, who you raised out the grave. So, Father, right now today we want to make that plain to all those who are here listening today and by extension to anyone else who might hear this message, that you have loved us. You have given your son. You configured the world around Jesus. So we have no reason to deny him or ignore him. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they would actually have true peace by the Prince of Peace, your son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Father, today we thank you, and we ask that you bless the word as it goes forth. Bless every ear, every mind, every life, and every heart that is listening right now. Father, give hearing to those who have no hearing. Father, give them sight right now that they can see that your word is true and that it will not come back to you void, but it will accomplish the purpose that you sent it. And Father, we ask a blessing on every ear right now. We ask a blessing on the message and on your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And the saints everywhere, go ahead and clap your hands and give glory to God right now. Hallelujah, because he is worthy to be praised. And so we just want to bless God for all of you out there. Now, you know, we've been going through some things here, and I just want to address some of that today because it looks like it's coming to a time that we have a situation where things are about to turn around. I'm trying to turn up the game here a little bit. I don't know how it even got turned down, if it did. But we're seeing that the man is now calling for things to be re-put back together here in the culture. And so we want to be careful, because I have been in prayer about this, and I just want to say that we are on God's time schedule. I don't know what Washington is doing necessarily. I do not know what the state of Missouri is doing, or the state of Illinois. I understand what they say they're doing, but my interest is, what is God doing? What does he have for us to do? What is on his agenda? And so these are the important things. So we're going to take our time and very carefully wait upon the Lord. And so I'm calling for all of you, if you're a member of St. Timothy or you're not, I think this is a good time for all of us to consecrate ourselves in prayer. We want to be able to give supplication to God and pray for people who are going to have to go through this season that we're going through here now. Because as I have said in the word here today, in the message, God put it on my spirit to talk about you, to talk with you about, let me get my language straight here, staying the course through an evil time. I want you to stay the course through an evil time. God's people have done this throughout history. It's not a new thing. It's not a new thing for our generation. The church has always been going through difficult times. Keep in mind, when God established the church, he came to a bunch of people. In fact, the word puts it this way. It says he came to his own, and his own received him not. See that? So God already knew he was going to have difficult times dealing, even with the covenant people. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So there's always been difficulty in the times of the church. The church is the, let's just give it a quick understanding for people. It's not what you necessarily see in the world that is the church. The church are the called out people that God has called you out to live unto him. The ecclesia, you are the ones who have been called out from the masses of the population in the world, and you've been given insight to see what God is doing. That's what makes you the church. You're not the church because of some building or because of some decree or some creed or any of that. You're the church because God loved you and called you out to himself. And he's always done this. I want you to see that, and we'll look at that in the message here in a minute. So the church has always had difficult circumstances. It came out and people misunderstood who Jesus was when he came. And it was no surprise to God, because he wrote it in the scriptures in great detail before Jesus came. And so God was not surprised. You know, God has never been surprised. Let me let you know, there's nothing that you are doing, nothing I'm doing, nothing anyone is doing that God already doesn't know what's up with you. He knows everything about you. The part that amazes me is that he loves us in spite of how we may be. No matter what you are doing, I want to let you know God loves you and he can take care of your situation. Now, you know what? There's a lot of people today teaching all kinds of self-help stuff and, oh, let me give you the three rules for this and the 10 things of that and this, that, and the other. But the truth is, what you need is you need God living in you. You need God, the Holy Spirit, to live in you. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know what? We don't need more flesh. We got plenty of that. What you need is what Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus, oh, that blew him away in John chapter 3. What do you mean born again? I don't get it. And that showed exactly what Jesus was saying was true. You don't get it because you haven't been born from above. You haven't had the Spirit of God to fill your life. You need God to interpret his word. Even though you know what the word says, you need to know what the word means. The only one who can tell you what it means is the one who authored the book. And so God's deal with us is when we trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that he raised him from the dead, which he did, you have no reason to doubt that. You know, your birth certificate is based on Jesus' birth certificate. This world's counting time from the first advent of Christ up until this very second. That's how it got to be 2020. Jesus was born 2,020 years ago, and we count time based on him. Before him, it's called B.C. There's a lot of folk want to deny that, and that's a big obvious fact. It's right in your face that Jesus is Lord. And so God did that so it would be easy for you to believe in his son. And so we just want to thank God for all of you who are here today. So as I mentioned, the church has been going through a time of trouble from the very onset, because God already knew that there would be adversity, there would be opposition, there would be those who oppose his word, and there would be those who believe his word. What he does is he equips the ones who believe his word with the understanding of his word, and then he puts them on the mission, and this mission is what we call the church, or the Great Commission, if you will. He puts us on his mission so that we're moving through the world letting people know the good news. Now, we will be, in most cases, the minority. That's why Jesus said that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It's not the big mass multitudes. It's the few who find it, that we believe God. We believe the gospel. We believe God gave his son. That's what the gospel is, that God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we want you to understand, if you trust that God gave his son, Jesus, who died for your sin and got up out of the grave after 3 days and nights, according to the scripture, the Bible says you shall be saved. Salvation is a free gift from God. So how do we stay the course through an evil time? There's always an evil season going around every time, and you will always be in the minority. You will not be in the majority. A lot of people tell you they like to talk about the silent majority and all these different kinds of terms. But God says his people will be fewer. You know, it'll be just a few, not the many. The many are on the broad road that leads to destruction. That's what Jesus said. So be very careful. I don't want to give you three things you can do to make your life better. I want to give you the one thing you need to do, and that's trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. Now, what God promised is, when you believe my son, I give you my spirit. And you have my word. I give you my spirit. I'm going to be online in you, or so to speak, active in everything you do. I'm going to be online in you for everything you do. You know what? There is no Bible teacher anywhere who knows everything going on in everybody's life. Now, there's some who will tell you they do, but there is none who really know everything that's going on in your life and what you need and how you need to get it together. There's nobody who can give you advice about everything. You know what? I bet there's not even very many people that all of us trust well enough to tell them the deep stuff that's going on in our life. You know, the only one you can trust with some things is God. And God knows that. And he'll make a way for you out of no way. And so as we go through this difficult time, we want to learn one thing. I got this from reading a quote, and I think it's very applicable at this time. I think it was Winston Churchill that said, you know what, if you're going through hell, don't stop. That's good advice. If you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going, because you don't want to stop there. You know, keep on moving. I think that's what David meant when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So keep going. Yes, times are rough. Yes, things are crazy. Yes, there's death on every side. Yes, there's all kinds of confusion. Yes, there's stuff that seems to be threatened in my life, but I'm going through. I'm not stopping here. I'm going through, and I'm going to finish my course, like Paul said. He says, forget those things that are behind, look forth unto those that are before, and I press toward the mark for the high upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So that's where you got to get. Get to the point where you understand God is on board with me. The devil is not anywhere near to be compared with God. God has all power is given to him. The devil can't even take his next breath if God doesn't let him do it. You see what I'm saying? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now, you may be here today saying, well, I don't know much about the Lord. How do I receive the Lord? That's what we're going to talk about here right now. So I want you to understand that we are living in troublous, difficult times and seasons right now, dangerous governments, threats of every stripe, spiritual turmoil, and so on and so on. And there's so much different kind of stuff. And it's enough to trouble you. You know what? If you didn't know God was on board, you might have a lot of reason to be worried and fearful and go into a shell. A whole lot of folk are shutting down. Folks are turning to drugs, turning to alcohol, turning to all kinds of stuff. But I'm telling you today, turn to God. Turn to the Lord. Trust in Jesus Christ. And believe that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's the good news, that God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So now what we need is we need God on board to take us through God's instruction for insight into how we must navigate through such evil days as these. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16 says. You know, fill your mind with the word of God. Cut off some of this stuff that's feeding you fear and feeding your fears and all of that. Turn your mind into the word of God. He told Joshua, you'll have good success and you'll prosper if you meditate in my law day and night. Don't let the book of the law depart from out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night, Joshua 1:8 says. So this is what I want to get into here today. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 9. This is the prophet Isaiah. Around St. Timothy, we like to call it the Gospel of Isaiah, because Isaiah reveals much about Messiah and his coming. And keep in mind, he has already come. We're living in a time where the Bible is fulfilling right before our eyes. There are people setting up right now. You've seen all the conspiracy theories and stuff going on around. People talking about all kinds of stuff, because, you know, the Bible does tell us that the Antichrist will arise. He is going to deceive many. He's going to show great signs and wonders so that as if it were possible, Jesus said, even the very elect would be deceived. But that means it is not possible. If you are the chosen of God, you don't have to worry about it. That's why we need to fill up with the word and stay the course through an evil time. You and I want to stay on course and cruise right through the evil time, knowing like David that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, we want to be comforted by God as we go through treacherous times like we live in. And the church has always had to do this. Now, a lot of times, you know, the modern church bends itself to suit the public and to suit people in the world and make other folks happy and all of that. And they skate and walk on different kinds of things and twist what God said. But we don't do that. We cut to the chase. We want to stay in the word. Amen. Because that's what we really need. Now, this is Isaiah's recommendation as he writes Israel, chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. See, God has always had to abundantly pardon, because we ain't right, simply put. Why? Now, this is why you need to seek the Lord. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We don't think anything like God. See, our thoughts are not his thoughts, his ways are not our ways. Then it gives you to show you the drastic difference between his words and his thoughts. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see what I'm saying? So we thank God for so many of you who are tuning in. God's mind is so high above ours, it's immeasurable. So I need to tap in and get some supernatural understanding of how to stay the course through an evil time. How do I stay on track in the midst of all this degradation and craziness that's going on in the culture? Now, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I'm probably older than some of you. I'm younger than some of you. But all the older elders I talk to say, I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. So what do we need? We need the institution of God's Spirit to be within us. He is the person of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The ones who trust in the Son and believe God is raised him from the dead receive the Holy Spirit, who is the interpreter of the scripture. He was the author of the scripture. He is the one who bore along the 40 authors that wrote the Holy Bible, which God finished 2,000 years ago. And it's more accurate than CNN.com or Fox News Channel or whoever you watch. The Bible is coming into fruition, and we're seeing them saying, oh, this is what is happening today. Yes, absolutely. You see what I'm saying? Because God said it. He wrote it down years and years ago, finished the book, sealed it with a curse. Revelation 22:18. He said, do not add or subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy, or I will add or subtract you from the book of life. So God said everything needed to be said. And what I want you to do is do what Isaiah recommends. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In other words, we have a limited amount of time that we can be saved. And the time is right now while the blood is running warm in your veins. And it's not a hard thing. I want you to know it's the most, in some ways, I could say it's the most difficult thing you will ever do. But at the same time, it's easy. God has fixed it, so you don't need to worry about it. All you need to do is trust in the Lord, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. In other words, God, I believe the gospel. I believe you gave your son that he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. He was chastised for my peace. You need to understand, you know, I was in church years, and I heard them talking about Jesus being crucified. Didn't really soak in until I really gave it some thought. And I didn't quite get it. Yeah, okay, he was crucified. I see, you know, you have different pictures and things and all that kind of stuff, which I don't believe in any pictures. But in either case, I had a concept of what I thought the crucifixion was about. When you get into the Word and trust God, he will let you know exactly what the cross is about. The cross is saying that every man, woman, boy, and girl is impotent. We have no power to save ourselves. Jesus, who is God the Son, Almighty God, the Son in the flesh, the incarnation of God, he was 100% God, 100% man, hung between heaven and earth on a cross, crucified there in order that all our guilt, all our sin would be cast upon him. And that's what you see there. You see the Son of God willfully submitting himself to the Word of God, to the desire of God, and to the sin of man all at one time. He was there in the governments of the world, misjudged him. I want to let you know, and I always tell people this, the worst government there has ever been has already been the one that found God guilty and crucified him on the tree. Think about it. There's nothing worse than that going to happen in your lifetime or mine. That's the very worst thing that ever happened in the history of time. That was the worst governmental decision that was ever made. But God predicted it, wrote it in the Word centuries before it happened. And Jesus fulfilled it. And I like what the old folks say. He didn't say a mumbling word. He went through it and took everything that God had written from Psalms 22, from all the various verses in the Old Testament, from the book of the law. And all the sin of all mankind was heaped upon the Son of God. And he hung there between heaven and earth in order to die for your sin and mine. And, you know, I didn't really get that. That's what I was saying. Why would God's Son have to do that? And the reason is God is absolutely perfect. He requires perfection. You and I don't have it. And I'm going to speak for me. I don't have it. You speak for yourself. You say in your own heart, you think you're perfect. You think you've done everything exactly perfectly right all your life. Do you think you ever will? I don't. I know I don't. I know I don't. I know I haven't. And I know there's not much chance of me ever doing everything perfectly right. And so God knew that also. That's why it says he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, because Jesus did everything perfectly. You see, he didn't miss a stroke. He did everything that was recorded in God's word from cover to cover, fulfilled it all pertaining to his first advent, so that he could pay the bill for sinners like me and you. See, all the sinners who believe that Jesus paid that debt for them, the Bible says you shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So Isaiah's admonition is a great one for staying the course through an evil time. Get on track. Understand God loves you. He will settle your debt entirely by faith alone. All you have to do is believe the good news. And once you do that, God will do the rest. And I need on board, online, active understanding in order for me to do what I need to do. I need Jesus every day. I'm not going to stand here and act like some people. You know what? The crisis this country is going through, you would think the first thing they do, I don't care what the First Amendment says. The First Amendment allows you to say, hey, you know, this thing, instead of saying it's an invisible enemy, yeah, it is. So are so many other things. But what we need is an invisible God with all authority and all power. Let's all call on him. You know, they had some Satan worshipers that went up to the Capitol. They had the audacity to come up and say they're going to do a demonstration. Where is the people of God? Why don't the people in the Congress say, let's pray. Let's call on Jesus and bring ourselves so that we can stay the course through this evil time as a nation. Why don't we do it? You know what? We used to not be ashamed of the gospel at one time. That's why we got so blessed here in America. Now America doesn't know who Jesus is. Jesus, you on the back burner now. We don't know you. We can't mention you. And you know what he said? If you don't own me before men, neither will I own you before my Father who is in heaven. So, you know what I need desperately when I get there for Jesus to say, you know, he don't do everything right, Lord, but he believes me. He knows me. He's not ashamed of my name. So I'm not ashamed of him. I need that. I don't know where you stand on that one. But if you know you need him, you better call on him now while he is near. Seek the Lord right now while he is near. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, it says here. And God will have mercy. He has promised you mercy. But you know what? The stumbling block is pride. We're so proud that we can't mention Jesus. We don't know who God is. Well, that's, you call on your higher power. No, God said, my son is Jesus. He's the only Savior of the world. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him call upon God. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. See what I'm saying? God's ways. Now you say, well, I don't understand all that. Well, you don't have to understand it, but you have to believe it. Trust Jesus. He is the only Savior. That's why the world is configured around him. There's no other name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's for the Jew first and also for the Gentile. Now, let me get back to my notes here. I kind of went off field there just a bit. But I want you to understand this, that God has caused Israel to exist. The Israel is are the covenant people. And the church has been instructed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is another situation where they don't know Christ, many of them. So there are some saved people there among the Jews, so I don't cast them all down. But Israel nationally does not acknowledge Christ as the Messiah. And the Bible says in very explicit detail that there will come another one who will profess to be the Messiah. And we know him as the Antichrist. And he will deceive multitudes. And we're being set up for that right now with all this virus stuff and vaccination stuff and all the conspiracy theories we're hearing. So you know what? You better be aware that all of this has been forecast in God's word. So God, he caused Israel to exist. He loves Israel. He loves every one of them, even the ones who deny his son. So you need to understand that. God is not surprised by what's going on over there in the land. He's not surprised by alliances that nations have made with the covenant people. He's not surprised by the fact that they're setting up to build a temple, which is really somewhat futile. In fact, it's totally futile because the Christ has already come. The Messiah has already come. The temple will be used by Antichrist in order to help deceive the world, to go in and commit the abomination of desolation as spoken by Daniel the prophet. And he will say he is God the Messiah and demand that people worship him. Scripture says there's coming a time when you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. That's why you hear so much mark of the beast kind of stuff being talked out here in the culture. So that's why I say we got to stay the course. In the evil time, Jesus said that those who believe him will not be deceived when these things come upon the world. And all of them are detailed in great explicit detail in the scripture. And so you and I can stay the course even through an evil time if we keep our minds stayed on the Lord. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. He'll make your way straight. He'll make his word a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path if you just trust him and believe him. He can take you through. He can give you peace in the midst of the storm. See, that's what he did for the disciples. He came out on the sea and it was boisterous. And they woke him, oh, Jesus, don't you know there's a storm? He get up and he speaks to the wind and the waves, said, peace be still. And everything went back quiet and placid like they were on a placid lake. floating on in where they had to go. And then they were more scared of him than they were the storm. He blew their mind with that one. He can blow yours. He ain't done yet. He's got plenty of things left that you and I need to acknowledge. So we want to make sure we're in that vein of thought, that God gives instructions and insight that we to show us how to navigate through evil times, and he loves us in spite of ourselves. That's the good news. You know what? A lot of people are depressed because they think, oh, God couldn't love anybody like me. Oh, I'm awful. You know what? I think that too. I know I'm awful. I don't know about you. But I'm thankful that God is merciful. I'm thankful that he picks up the sinner out of the dust by faith alone. I'm thankful that when the Pharisee and the tax collector went up to the temple, Jesus tells that parable there. The tax collector went over in the corner and beat up on his breast and said, oh, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Pharisee went and stood proudly and said, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like that tax collector over there. You know, he looked down on the tax collector, and I pay tithes of everything I possess, and so on and so forth. But Jesus said, the tax collector who beat up on his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He went down to his house justified and not the Pharisee. So you know what? We have some Pharisaical people in the world today. Many of them have crept into the church, and they actually believe that their righteousness is making them okay with God. And you know what? Righteousness is a good thing. I'm not trying to decry or put down righteousness, but you need to understand the truth that God would never have sent his son to the cross if you could get saved by personal righteousness. That would be foolish. That's why Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 that I do not frustrate the grace of God. Because if salvation could be given by the law, then Christ died in vain. So Jesus' death on the cross is most certainly the only way anyone will be saved. Don't ignore what God has done for you. Seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Now, as I mentioned, I don't want to get too lengthy here. I have a tendency to get excited, especially when we haven't been in worship services for with the saints where I can actually feed off of you too. But the fact is, this is what I'm saying. We need spiritual guidance. God has promised to give it. We don't need to have fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And God wants to be on board with you in order to take you through the dangerous times and keep you, help you stay the course. Because there is a course. We need to understand that. You know what? The governor may have a course. The president may have a course. The mayor may have a course, but I want God's course. That's the one I'm looking for, because that's the one that's going to take me through a dangerous time and make me available to preach his word and until he says, come on home, son, I'm done. You're done. You know, and that's how, well, that's the course I want to be on. Keep this in mind. Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis 12, was called when his name was Abram. Get out of Ur of the Chaldees. Come to a land that I'll show you. I'll bless you. Make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless the ones who bless you and curse the ones who curse you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, so he promised a man at the age of 75 that he would bless the world through his seed. You know what? He didn't have any. His wife was barren. Sarai was barren, had no children after all those years. And you know what the scripture says? It's amazing. Same thing I want to share with you today, friends. It says Abraham, Genesis 15:6, believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. You know what? When you believe God, it will be counted to you for righteousness. That's what happens. In other words, not so much that I'm righteous, it's that I believe God. When you believe God, Genesis 15:6, write that note if you like, it shall be accounted to you for righteousness. In other words, God will put righteousness in your account if you believe him. See? And so the seed he was trying to produce, or he promised Abram that he would produce, would be after 42 generations, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, one seed. That's what Paul said. Even though multitudes came out of Abraham's body. The whole Middle East is populated with the seed of Abraham physically. All the actual Jews that are believers or not over there in Jerusalem, all of the Semitic people, all there in the Arabs, all of them all came from the loins of Abraham. This impossible man, 75 years old, that God called in Genesis 12. And he believed God. That's the big issue. Do you believe God? I hope you do. God said, I sent my son for you to pay your bill entirely. He came all the way out of eternity, took on flesh 2,020 years ago. born and laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, in order to eventually make it 30 years later, walking in the world in sinless perfection, to die on a cross, to shed his blood for your sin and for mine. And he got out of the grave. That's how you know he did the work right. He did everything God required because he got out of the grave. Nobody else has defeated death successfully. Only one. There's one who's done that. His name is Jesus. He did it for you. That's what I want you to know. He did it for you because he loved you. And God so loved the world, he gave him so that you could have everlasting life. Everlasting life is not an amount of time, my friends. Everlasting life is a relationship between you and God. It doesn't start when you go in the tomb. It starts when you believe God. That's what it says in John 17, verse 3, that this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. See, when you know God, that's when your eternal life begins, and God will be with you to stay the course through every evil time that you have to endure. And so he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he promised. Winston Churchill, as I mentioned, was one said, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. Because you got to get out of there. You don't want to stay there in hell. And this is a good advice to you and me today. Likewise, we are living in a very evil time, just as the Apostle Paul warned Timothy, his son in the faith, that perilous times would come, and he told him what to do and what the signs of the evil time would be and what they are. And you can believe right now, today, these are evil days. Paul said, be redeemed the time once you get saved, for he said, the days are evil. The time is evil. So redeem the time. Make the best of your time. Paul put it this way, writing Timothy. Now, 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons or devils. See, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods or meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. See, got a lot of people talking about dietary stuff here. For every creature of God is good, that's what the scripture says, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Thank God for what you dine on. Thank God for those things that he provides you. And right now, food is becoming an issue in these evil times. And you can see that going on also. But remember, God says, I'll feed you. If I have to rain bread out of heaven, you will be fed. And so you don't have to worry about it. He said, my people shall not perish because I will be with them. I will guide them. And I will be with them everything you go through. He will be with you. And so he says, moving on, 1 Timothy 4 and 5, for the food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Did you know that? Those things that you eat, pray and ask God to sanctify those things. And it's by prayer. When you talk to God about it, he fixes it up. And then it goes on to say, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So hang on in there. What makes a minister good is not how he can quiver your liver and shiver your spine and all of that. It has to do with, does he remind you what God has said? Does he put to your mind those things which God has said, bring them to your remembrance, so that the spirit that God has given you can guide you and lead you on through this difficult time that we're going through? And so this is he goes on to say, but refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that is now. In other words, it'll make you a little better in this life now, and of that which is to come. And this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, for he says, therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. That's what was happening to the church in Paul's day. Because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Look at that. Because you trust God and believe him, that's how we suffer reproach. People blame us, and we're blamed because we trust in the living God. You think that's the opposite. If you trust God, stuff ought to be easier. No, it's going to be more difficult because you trust God, and you take a stand because you have to go against all the opposition and the enemies of God who are not in the truth. And so expect it. That's what I have to say to you. You already got a whole lot of people with feel-good religion, supposedly, today. In other words, we don't want to say anything about sin or persecution or any of that. You know what? You better pick up your Bible. If you want to know what God says, he says the people of God need to be prepared so that they can make their way through an evil time and keep saying the truth. And don't let somebody put a muzzle on you so you can't say the gospel. You act like you're ashamed of Christ, just like they are. Speak the truth. Take a stand. And you don't have to be mean. I'm not mean. You know what? I know God loves you. That's the reason why I want to speak so boldly. He loves you, and there's no other way for you. So it's like if I saw you heading up the road and the bridge was out and you coming down right, and I'm going to get in front of you and act a fool so I can tell you, hey, stop. The bridge is out. Don't go down there. And I'm going to try to let you know there's a problem. See, if I don't do that and I tell you, oh, everything's just fine. Have a nice cruise down the road. I'm not really helping you. I got to say, wake up right now. There's trouble up ahead. God gave his son. I want you to know. And there's no other way for you except to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. I'm not helping you if I don't tell you the truth. See, and I could become your enemy if you don't believe me, which is sad. It won't be me against you. It'll be you against me. But I love you, so I have to tell you the truth. That's the duty of the church, and it's the privilege of the church to be able to stand and tell the truth. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, Ephesians 4 and 5. And so we see that it was amazing how God sent Jesus through a line of people who never existed. He called Abraham out of the Gentiles to sanctify people for his own possession. Do pray for Israel. Israel is still in the apple of God's eye. They are going to come into the end time scenario. We don't have time to talk about it all today. Time is really getting well spent here now. But I want you to understand God loves you and you can be his child today. All you need to do is believe the gospel. That simple. That God so loved you, he gave Jesus for you and raised him from the grave in order that you might have a proper relationship with him. The way that works is Jesus was perfect, without sin, without a spot, without a blemish. And he gave his life, shed his blood, no sin. God was satisfied. And he makes him the Prince of Peace. He is the one that makes peace with whoever believes God. He is the one that gives wisdom to the ones who love God, who continue to carry his word and tell people the truth no matter what the world is doing or what they say or how you might be treated because you say the truth. The early church was persecuted. They weren't considered the icons of society or anything. They were burned, rolled and pitched and put on stakes and burnt in the Roman auditoriums. You see what I'm saying? So what do we think? We think we get a pass? You know, I'm not expecting to be burnt, but God will protect you, and you'll be here for the full course you need to be. And even if you're out of here, Jesus has covered you. So you got to know that. And you won't get by without him, I promise you that. And God gave him and gave us to preach to let you know, trust Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. And so we see how things are going on right now. That's easy to see, isn't it? This is an evil time. Let us evaluate everything through the word of God and prayer, and let us be guided by the Holy Spirit so that we can make proper decisions about all the challenging things that we have to deal with in these evil days and difficult times, knowing that Jesus, who alone rose from the dead, has promised that he will be with us always, even to the end of the world. That's where you have to set your heart and build your foundation. He says those who hear these words of mine and do them are the ones who are building on the rock. So if you want to be on the rock and have certainty about where you're going when you leave, and you know, we don't really know when that'll be, that's up to God. God is the only one that can make that decision. You know, nobody's going to leave here unless God says it's your time to go. People have given the devil equal authority. That bothers me too. The devil is nowhere near to be compared to God. He is a pawn on God's chessboard. And so the fact is, all who trust and believe in the name of Jesus, the Bible promises, you shall be saved. That's what we want you to do. Be saved. You know what? I can't be with you all the time. But just like the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts, he was on his way back to Africa. And God sent Philip, an evangelist, to come alongside of him as he read Isaiah chapter 53. And he said, who is he talking about? Isn't this man been up here to go worship, supposedly, but he was going home empty. Had nothing. Philip told him, he's talking about Jesus, the Messiah, and he already came. And whoever believes in him and is baptized shall be saved. You know what the eunuch said? There's some water right there. What would prevent me from being saved? And Philip said, nothing. If you believe with all your heart, you shall be saved. And he went, took him and baptized him. The Bible says God caught Philip away. He didn't need him anymore. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost moved in that eunuch's life to carry it on. He had everything he needed. He had the Word of God, the Spirit of God, faith in God, and he was able to carry the gospel to Ethiopia. And so you can be used by God if you just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. You will find that Christ is in the center of all the messages that you find in the Bible from the early church. And it's the focal point of the message about Christ and the prophecy of him. Not so much, oh, let's see what kind of way can you treat your neighbor better. God will show you how to do that. He's the only one that can. He knows all the intimate details about you and everything in your life in particular. Your pastor doesn't know that. Sometimes I get on people and they say, oh, you were preaching directly to me, Pastor. You knew what I was going through. I really don't. The Holy Spirit gives me what to say. He'll do it for you. I'm not special. He'll do it for you. He wants to do it for you. If you love God and trust in Jesus Christ, believe that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So God will be with you, and he will help you navigate the evil times. Hope you have gotten a good word from the message today. We love you. We pray for you. We're going to have instruction for the members of St. Timothy for the following time period. But as I said at the beginning, I want you all to consecrate yourselves in prayer. Go in sincere prayer and ask God, what should I do? And what do I need to regulate in my life? And how should I do things? And we're going to wait until we hear from God. We're not rushing back to the building. The building really is not of as much significance as the knowledge, because we are the building of God. Peter said, we're living stones in the building of God. It's made of flesh and blood, and he writes his word upon the tables of your heart. And so God is going to instruct us what we have to do and how we should do it. And so we are somewhat anxious to worship, but we want to make sure we're doing it his way. So begin to intercede for people, because this is going to be a great time of revival, the biggest one we've ever seen in our lifetime. And we want to make preparation for how to receive all the people who will be coming to God so that we can feed them on knowledge and understanding. That's what God said in Jeremiah, and I'm about done, so don't get upset. Don't tune me out yet. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart, Jeremiah 3:15, to feed you on knowledge and understanding. That's what you need. So God gives you pastors who will feed into your life his word so that it can manifest with the Holy Spirit who is in you, that he has given you because of your faith in Jesus Christ and that you believe God raised him from the dead. You know what? He'll do the rest. He's the best teacher. He's the only real teacher. You have an anointing, 1 John 2:27 says, from the Holy One. And you all know, because he teaches you all things. And just as he teaches you, you abide in him. So that's what we're wanting to do, to show you how to stay the course through an evil time. God loves you. I love you the best I know how. I'm trying to work on doing that better. And I hope you love me, too, in that way. Amen. So we thank God for you, and we'll be giving further instructions on how we're going to do as far as resuming normal services. And I'll be in touch with the members. If you want to send me an email or write me or a text or message me, I even set up an Instagram account. I don't know how to use it yet, but I did. So I'll get into that later on. But we thank God for you, and we hope you enjoyed the message today. Let God give you the peace that passeth all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.